You know, this week, the talk show is going so well, and it's just gaining a lot of momentum around the planet. In fact, this week, I think we shot over 20 shows in 5 days, and the guests that fly in, they pay their own way in now. And so to be on the show, so if they have got books, a lot of their publishers and that, they encourage them to come in and fly, so we'll put the book on the thing. So we get some pretty amazing guests. This last week we had Hattie Kaufman. I was just telling a couple friends that I think she was the co-host with Brian Gumbel, is it, on Good Morning America and CBS, and the top who's who of journalists. And so she came in. She's a new believer, and was just really, well, it was really one of the best compliments we could have gotten was getting her in there, and then have her be so impressed with the church and the television station. That was a really special time. But this week we had some really interesting people. One of the guys we had was a vet from Iraq, who they went over IEDs, and killed everybody except for the driver and him on the Humvee. But it burnt off his ears, his nose. A lot of his body, a third of his body was third-degree burns. And so 3 years of surgeries, 75 surgeries. And then to hear him laughing and talking about God. He wrote a book, I think it was Man of Steel or Steel Will. And just the most beautiful Christian brother. And he's got an organization now that helps soldiers who have PST. Sorry, my brain is a little bit low today, so if I, you have to let me wander through what I want to do. But PTSD, thank you. Canada, GST. So we had some really good programs, and you know, some of the stuff these guys talk about and teach is really amazing. Some of the teachers that come, who have written it's always authors that they're bringing in. And so they've written books on teaching, on grace, and we had a professor come in who wrote some books, and just amazing content as well. So that was going really, really good. It's exciting to see what God is doing, and who'd ever thought 20 years ago when we all got around, a few hundred of us, and thought, okay, let's change church, let's do it differently, that this would be what's happening. The Spirit Contemporary, as you know, we've known it for years, is absolutely taking hold around the planet, and we're getting so many calls and opportunities to speak to whole denominations. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to just slip into Australia for a few days and do an entire state of one denomination's pastors, and they want to talk about Spirit Contemporary. How do you walk in the things of the Spirit and do it in a contemporary way? And there's just so many things that are going on that I'm excited about. What God is doing in Canada is really special. In November, when we go to our online church, that's going to be incredible. Every place that is carrying us right now around the world, all through Europe, Africa, etc., we're going to begin to advertise our online Springs Church service everywhere on the planet so that they know exactly where to tune in. And I think that's going to become probably one of the greatest things as far as touching people with our service we've ever done. And so God's good. But tonight I wanted to talk a little bit about preparing you for what's next in your life. And so I've just thought if you want to sit back and just listen, I'll want to share with you kind of the way I think, the way I process for me. Because I'm one of these guys that I could probably never just sit at a certain spot and just do the same old thing. It would drive me nuts. And Sally's the same way. There's something about our makeup that we just want to do more. And once you've done more, we want to see if we can expand further. And if you don't know how to do that, it can have great consequences with the stress and new systems and all the things. So I thought I want to just talk from the Word a little bit about that. A lot of people, I think, they take the Word of God now. Let me finish what I'm about to say. They take God's word too spiritual. They make it so that it's all about being so spiritual and praying about things, meaning that God's going to come and do it. And I think a lot of what God is trying to show us in the word is to prepare us for the future that is ahead of us. a lot of the people out there who are starting their own New Age books and all this, talking about the secret and everything else, they're just stealing that from the Bible. Because Christians have basically backed away from the teaching principles, and instead we just read the red, pray for power, and hope God shows up. But the Bible has so much more than that to say. For example, one of the verses in the Word in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we claim it all the time, says, from glory to glory, he's changing me. Now, what does that mean, from glory to glory? Does it mean that you're gonna radiate more in the service on Sunday? Does it mean you're gonna worship more with your hands in the air? Does it mean that you just feel more in tune in the mornings when you wake up? God's glory is his ability flowing through you. You know, with an increase in family and home and finance and career, him using you. I'd always struggle with the word glory. And because so many people write books on the word glory, and I don't even understand the books. I kind of read them and go, okay, I don't get this at all. But whatever, I mean, God's glory is going to, to some people it's a cloud. To other people it's falling and doing carpet time. But I don't find that so much in the word. I remember one time, we were at someone's house, and the little guy was three or something, and he busted out of the room getting ready for bed. Nothing's on, buck naked, and he comes streaking through the house. And the grandpa in the room says, there he goes in all his glory. And you know, something just caught in me, because God uses so many things for teaching moments. And I thought, I think that's what he's trying to tell us, is that his glory in our lives is a fully alive you. That's what he wants. He doesn't want a fully spiritually twitty you. He doesn't want some kind of space cadet you. He wants you fully alive with him, fully alive in your relationships, fully alive with what your career needs to do. All of our careers here have an incredible ability to touch our cities. We are the salt and light. And so as we work in our places of work, as we live in our neighborhoods, as we reach out to the people around us, it is our careers, it is what we do for a living that makes us potent. And so God wants to take you from glory to glory. And I want you to see it differently. I actually want you to really get a secular thought and go, what is the next level for you? What is it? Have you thought about it? Do you know what it is? You say, well, I just want to know God more. I'm getting tired of that answer. So, okay, why? Because it just sounds so spiritual. Just like, what do you want? Oh, I just want to know God more. Well, of course you do. And for the rest of your life, you should. But if we all embrace this Christian teaching of, let's all just stay in love with Jesus, and one day he's going to come and save us from this world of woe. You've heard my rhetoric. I nail this one all the time. There's something missing. Really, what's on the inside of you is an ability that is endless. And everyone thinks that they've capped at a certain place. Leon, I can't handle any more stress. Leon, I can't do any more structuring. I can't redo any systems. This is as many staff as I want to handle. I don't think I can go any further with this. And it's all baloney. There is no end to what you can do. It doesn't say from glory to glory, he's changing your staff. From glory to glory, he's changing you. Because if he changes you, you can handle any number of staff. You can handle the weirdos, the bad. You can fire, hire. You can walk. You know, if he's changing you, then the creative ideas will come. Then the ability to handle, all the things that you need that are ahead of you, God's got to change you. So now, what does that look like? So Leon, just pray more, right? No, not the way you're praying anyway. What do we do when we need to move from whatever level we're at to the next level that God has for us? Well, there's got to be internal change. You know, we had a doctor, the brain lady, in, and she was talking about neuroplasticity, which is... Caroline Leaves, thank you. This is going to be participatory tonight, all right? And whoever gives me the most answers, I'm just going to give an extra dessert. But she talked about something called neuroplasticity, which is really cool, because the brain people would always say that your brain is hardwired and that all you can really do within who you are, which has already been decided, your DNA's already been decided. They said they didn't even tell you what you're going to die from and what year you're going to die, etc. They figured they could map all this out. Then along comes quantum mechanics, along comes the study of the brain, and they find out that the DNA in your body can be changed, that your brain can be changed, your very personality can be changed. And it's interesting to watch the books that are coming out from the medical world and from people who are saying, okay, if you want to change the way you are, it's not that hard. And as they begin to teach it, it's amazing how it comes from God's word. You just need to stop spiritualizing it. For example, the renewing of your mind. You know, okay, a lot of people from glory to glory, for them what that means is be more spiritual. And we got so many spooky people on the planet, and Christianity is bombing in so many places. One of my guests this week was a stats person told me 1,100 pastors a month are quitting in America. And so the church is not winning. We sometimes sit in our church and we look at all the wonderful people around us and the laboring together that we do, and we think, you know, this is like this everywhere. It's not. In fact, everywhere I go, even for great churches I walk, I'm so glad I've got you guys in the church we've got. When I see some of the world's best churches, I kind of go, thank you, Jesus, for Springs. And when you come back. So we don't need to be more spooky, but from glory to glory is how can you fulfill the call of God on your life? How can you live with greater glory for finances, for relationships, and for the dreams that are in your heart? Well, renewing your mind in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 is crucial. But again, we spiritualize renewing your mind. What do I do to renew my mind? Know who you are in Christ. Okay? What does that mean? Well, I'm forgiven. The blessings of the Lord are mine. And I'm going to go to heaven. Okay, that doesn't help most people once they get saved. Okay? So what are we going to do till we get to heaven? One guy says, well, I'm blessed. I said, you know what? That doesn't mean much. I said, why? Because the blessing of the Lord has been spoken to everybody in the world. So all of Winnipeg is blessed. But you walked by a tramp who's 65, 70 years old dying on the streets. And they die on the streets having never fulfilled any of their destiny. Where's the blessing in their life? Where's the blessing on the person that committed suicide a few hours ago here in Winnipeg, who's never did anything for God, never gave their life to Jesus Christ, never did, and the blessings on them? Because did Jesus die for them too? Sure he did. And he spoke the blessing. And Peter says that, you know, all that you need for life and godliness has been given to you and I. So Christianity has been developed as a praying religion, but it doesn't change much from Buddhism and other religions where you pray and beg God and hope he does something. Or the way a lot of faith Christians believe is that God has a measuring stick. And as you learn to use your faith greater, he goes, okay, you can have it when your faith is strong enough. And so we look at faith as we have to please God with faith. And we've made everything so religious. The thing that has helped me out the most over the years is that any time I come to a place where I go, I don't know if I can go any further than this, then I know that although I want things to change, I want the right staff in place, I need finances to come in place, before I go to a new level of God's glory working through me and the gift and the call that's on me, he has to change me. And here is where a lot of times we don't know what to change. You could say, well, take a course, learn more management, learn more leadership. And a lot of us do that. We read a lot of books. We've got companies with staff, etc. But there are things on the inside of us that are hard to know what it is to change. And so I want to challenge you that in your life, in whatever you're believing God for, yes, you need to renew your mind. Because then the Bible goes on to say, in fact, let me read it to you in a different version. It's interesting. Romans 12. And I'm reading it from the Phillips translation. It says, we have seen God's mercy and wisdom. How shall we respond? With eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds. Okay, remold your minds from within, so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, that it meets all his demands, and it moves towards the goal of true maturity. Now, if you struggle with who you are, and your thoughts and your thought life, let's pick on insecurity as an example. Let's say that you know you're insecure, and you've been raised that way, and it just comes out of you all the time, and you struggle with it all the time. Anytime you think about doing something more, you just feel so insecure. Let's talk about how the mind works with that. When you begin to think and focus on insecure thoughts, those insecure thoughts give you a feeling of insecurity. But we know through the study of the brain that when you begin to feel insecure, you look for more evidence to prove your insecurity. So you've had an insecure thought, you focus on insecurity, then you begin to feel insecure. Those feelings of insecurity begin to make you look for other places you're lousy at and what you're not good at, etc. And as you begin to do that, then it starts this complete cycle, which we would then call a state of being. You say, well, this is the way I've always been, Pastor. I've always been insecure. And you think it's hardwired into your brain. It's not. But as Carolyn Leaf taught us, you know, the brain matches the teaching of the Word of God. You begin to build these neural pathways where you naturally wake up and feel insecure. Instantly, when you feel insecure, you look for insecure things. When you find insecure things, you feel more insecure. And so you begin to do, again, the cycle. You literally grow up every day with this insecurity. Then the feeling hits you. As soon as the feeling hits you, you begin to look for things. When you look for things, you're now in the state of insecurity. This becomes your belief system. We call it your BS. Now, the Bible says that it's not the devil that's stopping you from fulfilling or getting what God's called you to. It is these kinds of things. When you go into the Amplified, into Romans chapter 12, where it talks about, Second Corinthians chapter 10, where it talks about the weapons of our warfare, what is actually stopping you and I from fighting our way to a new level in whatever we're looking for. Maybe it's a new level in our relationship or business or whatever. It says that we must take thoughts captive. Now, they tell us that you human beings have this unique ability to stand back and watch yourself think. Think about that. That's amazing. You can literally be an observer of your own thought life, and you've done it. You've tracked yourself going, okay, what am I thinking about? What am I feeling right now? Now, a lot of people say, well, ignore your feelings, but your feelings will show your belief systems if it's constant. If it's a belief system that keeps going from your feeling and then you keep looking for evidence that you are, we're picking on the word insecurity. Now, how do I take God's word? Well, you pray. Okay, I agree. But here's what the typical Christian thinks praying, and God, help me with my insecurity. That's not going to work. Lord, help me with this issue. Lord, in Jesus' name, I believe that I'm free from insecurity. That's not what he means by prayer. Prayer is a meditative process wherein you take the Word of God and His promises and you allow the Holy Spirit to work within you to deal with the BS that's stopping you from rising up to a new level. If you do not interrupt that BS, that cycle that you feel a certain, no, you focus on something, then you feel a certain way, then that feeling makes you focus all the more on the same thing until you have this repetitive groundhog process. And everybody in the room, including me, deals with something in our lives that does this. And anytime you can't get to a new level in your business, in just feeling great about your life, in the relationship, you know it's the way you act that is destroying that relationship. You've got a repetitive process because of what you focus on, but what you have focused on and practiced focusing on for years or decades has become this absolutely brutal belief system. It is your state of mind. It controls your finances. It controls your sex life. It controls your happiness in marriage. It controls everything about you. And so when we go to God's word, this thing we call prayer isn't begging and bugging. It's believing that Holy Spirit is the best coach you'll ever find on high finance. He's incredible in dealing with systems of handling huge organizations. He's amazing at dealing with everything from unions to bad employees to figuring out how to break through the ceiling that contains your business, the creative ideas to take you places that have never been done before. Holy Spirit is the most brilliant contemporary force on the planet. But we've been so churched that we see him, that if I talk to Holy Spirit, guess what he's going to talk to me about? My problems, and I'm not singing enough, I'm not raising my hands high enough, and I'm not worshiping, I'm not volunteering at church enough. And this is what we've relegated the Holy Spirit to. And we've forgotten that your very future and your ability to go to millions and billions in this city, or your ability to rise up in the creative bent that you are, if you're in songwriting or music or in teaching, your ability to astound an entire class, to all those students, it's not always money, but it is about succeeding. It is about never letting anything stop you. Now, if you do not meditate, you will hit ceilings fast. I was reading about a study they did with Buddhist monks, and they had a way of putting leads on people's heads and taking a look at the frontal lobe activity and the certain waves that the brain gives off, and I don't remember all the proper names for it, but they found these men had astounding waves. They gave off gamma waves, or I forget what it was called, that they rarely see in people's minds. These guys had, and the only difference between them and all the other people was they would meditate. They would take their brain and they would focus. Now, some of the things they found with this neuroplasticity, if you've read Dr. Carolyn Leaf's book, and there's many other books on neuroplasticity, which really shows and proves the Bible. For example, they can measure muscle mass. So if they give a job to a test group that they are to take a piano and for 2 hours a day for the next 4 weeks do a certain tune that anybody could do, and you just work it until you get it. And then they have another group that simply does it in their mind, and they are given the tune and they are given a video of the other people playing the piano. Let's say it's chopsticks. Da, 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 da. And they do this 2 hours a day until they've got this aced. They can see this new neural pathway is taking place in their mind because it's repetitive in the same area. But the people who pretend they're doing it, who simply practice in their head, okay, they literally have the same activity as though they were actually doing it. Now, I've heard that test before, but what they're saying now is when they look at the muscle mass of the fingers in doing that, they can see a change in the ones who actually did the chopsticks, and the same muscle changes to the fingers as the ones who only meditated through the exercise. So what they're saying is that your brain is so incredible the way God's designed it, that it affects everything from your feelings to your physiology. They're discovering this kind of thing, which the Bible's always said. I was reading this one report today. They're saying that the brain and the mind are not the same. Okay? But the brain is what the mind is in. And I was trying to read their thinking, and it's ridiculous. We've got it all figured out from the Bible, because when your brain dies and they bury it in a coffin, your mind, your feelings, your emotions, who you love, your memory banks, they go on forever. So your mind isn't contained by your brain. Very good. Okay? So we want to learn about the brain, and we can even see it agreeing with God's word. But the study of the brain does not hold us, because our mind is wrapped in spirit. Every human being's mind is wrapped in spirit and will live forever. But now, our mind does have to, on this planet, seemingly work through a brain. Because if you have a stroke, for example, you can think the thoughts, but you can't say them through your physical body. And if your brain is low on serotonin, you can have a mind that's wrapped in spirit, but the depression that pushes against you is palpable. You can feel it. So although the mind is different than the brain, that we still need to look after our brain and understand how it works. The Bible is phenomenal when it teaches us to meditate. And here's what I shared all those examples with you for this. Meditation is the missing link in the North American church. None of us meditate as long as we need to. And if we would just take 30 minutes a day and practice meditating, the next thing would be, what should I meditate on? Well, according to the Word of God, you should begin to replay where you want to be. Okay? Let's say that you're an insecure person who feels called to public speak, but it's been decades and you can't ever do it because you just feel, you know, anytime you've tried it, you've gotten embarrassed. Meditation would be going to the verse that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But how do you meditate on that verse for 30 minutes? What, you see it in different fonts or what? You know, like, what do you do with that? No, what you do is you mentally practice what you want to become. If you don't like being insecure, then begin to mentally practice what security looks like to you. If it's speaking on a stage, then you need to allow Holy Spirit to show you things to come, the book of John says. So what does that look like? If you feel called to get on a stage and to teach or to lead kids, and you're not doing it because of your insecurity, how you prepare your mind, this is neuroplasticity, but this is Bible 101. What you do is you close your eyes, you ask Holy Spirit for His help, and you begin to see yourself speaking. And when you see everyone's loving you and applauding you, standing ovations, laughing, enjoying you, you're incredible, you're amazing. As you begin to mentally practice where you want to be, your heart begins to get involved. Now, your heart's where faith is. And so faith begins to connect us. It begins to bring the right people in. So this presence of God begins to rise up on the inside of you. And in no time, you'll find yourself getting on stage one day with a microphone. And as you go to speak, when your brain would go blanked out and you'd start about to shake and sweat, because it's the number one fear in people's lives is public speaking, you'll get up there. And because you've been public speaking in your prayer time, in your meditation time for months, your brain treats it as though you have been all along. That's why the Bible calls it seeing with the eyes of faith. It is seeing it ahead of time. For you business guys that are here, if you want to see it double your company and you need a massive cash infusion, you need to handle 100 more staff than you've got, and it could be 4 more staff, but you need to begin to meditate. And as you meditate, you take the words of God. As you study the word, there's certain promises that'll stand out to you. And it could be He's going to bless the work of your hand. You go, the work of my hand is this company, and it's not blessed right now. I don't know how I'm going to get it to that next level. Well, the Bible says that faith sees the end from the beginning. Now, the mind will work with you to daily structure and restructure your company. But your heart needs to have a goal that you see at the end. And if you haven't thought your way through to the end, then biblical faith can't help you. You're not getting it going. Faith, the servant of the believer, is not working. So what does that look like? I don't know for you, but let me make something up. If you've got a company and you think, if I had 2 more crews, Leon, I mean, right now it would be stunning. I could absolutely take over in this area. Okay, cool. That's your dream. Then you begin to meditate. And the Bible says that God causes all things to work together for good. Lord, your word says that I ride upon the high places of the earth, that I have favor, that whatever I can believe, I can receive. Okay, now you've got the verses. Cool. But meditation doesn't mean you just keep banging your head on the verses. It means the verses begin to cause you to mentally go through what it looks like on the end result. Caleb, in the first 5 books of the Bible, we hear about Caleb. He had a dream. It wasn't just to go into the promised land. He had a specific mountain. That's why when they went across, he said, give me my mountain. He'd kept for 40 years a dream of this mountain was his. And so as believers, the dreaming is the language of the heart. And your brain is always going to be involved in the day-to-day because you got to figure out, you got to decide, when do they come to work? When do they go for lunch? How do I train them? There's lots to think through. But your brain has been designed to follow your heart. Your heart is where you believe. Let's pick on somebody who's retired right now. And you say, okay, Leon, I'm retired. I'm on a fixed income. How can I bless? You know, I know what I'm going to be making 15 years from today. That's really limited thinking because God can do anything He wants. What is it that you'd like to do? Well, I don't know. I'd like to believe I've got double. Good. Then begin to mentally practice what would you do if you had double? Now, there's a group of Christendom out there who believe that what I'm teaching you right now is New Age. Okay? It's mind over matter. It's not about the mind, it's about God. Yes, and it was God who gave you your mind. And it was God who gave your heart the ability to see the future and to go after it. You know, the Bible teaches us that we are to renew our mind. But let me ask you, what are we to renew our mind to? Everyone thinks, oh, you're supposed to renew your mind to the morals of the Bible. Of course, yes. Actually, I think most people know them. What should you renew your mind to? How good and great God is. Even the devil knows how good and great God is. What are you supposed to renew your mind to? Who, what Jesus did for you so that you understand the cross and his grace, and then what it is you are to do. Isn't it interesting that the prayers in the book of Ephesians teach us that you get a revelation of your inheritance? What's your inheritance? Well, Leon, it's to be blessed. Good. The Bible says your marriage is blessed. Yeah, well, mine's not blessed. Well, it takes more than the blessing. It takes the application of the blessing. You have to believe it, and then faith without works is dead. So you got to believe the blessing, and then you have to act on that blessing. That's how it works in marriage. It's how it works in business. It's how it works with money. And until you begin to see yourself and practice renewing your mind to where it is you want to be, it's like going to the train station or going to the airport and saying, I want to buy a ticket. And then when they say, where do you want to go? And you say, I don't know. Are they going to help you? It is impossible to help you. The same is true for faith. The faith that God has placed within every believer is the same measure. And maybe at one point in your life you had a strong dream and you believed for it, and it was amazing what God took you there, how quickly and how powerfully he took you there. But if you've surpassed that dream, what are you seeing next? And then I want to challenge you to dream in every area of your life, because if you don't, you can have one area going really well, but the other areas aren't going well. Men need to make sure and remind you, don't just have a business goal. When you close your eyes, what does a happy family look like for you? And we were doing this as a family. We were practicing, well, Dad, what's yours? I just said, you know what? I want a ranch. I want a big honking ranch. And I want it outside somewhere where there's foothills and mountains and a stream, so that with all my 25 grandkids coming up, and where are we going to go for birthdays? And I just started telling them, this is what I want. And you should have seen them go, now they're looking at ranches. I'm going, okay, I'm not ready yet. But once you set a goal, faith has something to move towards. Faith is the substance of things dreamed for. How do you hope? You dream. So any area you don't have a dream, faith's not working. Any place that you haven't, and then when you do have a dream, the key to releasing all that is needed for that dream to come to pass is to keep that dream daily before you. Now here's what's going to happen when you do that. And you can pick on any area, your family, this ranch I'm talking about, or where you want to go, you know, in your marriage. Maybe it's not the marriage you've dreamed about. Maybe it's not the kids and the family you've ever wanted. One of the psychologists, his last name is Waddles. I don't think he's a believer, but he made a comment. He said, for the brain to think about something that isn't is the most laborious work it will ever do. What does he mean? If you don't have something and you try hard to meditate seeing that something, it is the most draining. It feels weird. You'll sit down and go, okay, so what are you saying? You need, if your marriage is a problem, you need to have laughing and talking and a happy bedroom and a happy, you need to see that. Oh, okay, is that okay? Yeah. But to sit there day after day and take God's promises and see it, or to sit there and say, okay, you don't know how many problems I got on my job. They say there are no jobs over here, and I don't like having to travel over there. I got all these problems over here. Okay, what do you want? Decide what you want. If you don't know, then start thinking that way, praying that way, saying, God, help me, guide me. What is it that I see? What do I want? And I'm not talking about, I want to be the next Joyce Myers. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about right now in your life, what's that next step? And then meditate. Holy Spirit's job is to come alongside of you and help you. If you could see, and I am not the best indicator for everything at all, but just what I've learned, every morning, I grab a specific time. For me, it's mornings, and for me, it's late at nights. So we're talking early in the morning, like 2, 3, or, you know, I'll get up, and I'll just sit down on the couch, and I'll just take God's promises, and I'll begin to think through what it is I want this year, where it is I believe I'm going. And I will sit there, and I'm telling you, it took me discipline to do this, because meditation didn't, almost no one will stick to it, but to sit there, take a promise from God's word, and then begin to see it, begin to see. You know, I remember years ago when I first, and you've heard this story, would walk around the 479 on St. Mary's Road. I would just walk around there, and I'd sit at the piano and just play and worship God. But what I was doing is I was seeing cars lined up outside the door. I was seeing them emptying and another service filling up. I would practice seeing me preaching to thousands of people. And I did that all the time. Why? Because when I started doing that, that's when I started getting ideas, creative ideas, on how to do Mother's Days and Father's Days and how should we do kids' play days and all the things that we do now and how do we do courses in the midweek and how do we do our services and how should I preach and how should I talk and what kind of music do I want? All of these details that I didn't have before began to come to me as I began to believe in the dream that I was seeing. So if you don't believe, you can't be creative. If you don't believe, you won't solve problems. If you don't believe, you won't even try. You will settle in to just kind of going through the paces. Now, people will ask you, do you want more? You'll say yes. But if you really are open and honest, brutally honest with yourself, do you even have a dream? And I don't mean this great big dream. I just mean, what's the dream for your marriage? What's the dream for your finances? What's the dream for your church? I've noticed that when I talk with people about Springs, there's times I'll start talking about what God's doing and their eyes just glaze over and all they care about is their money and their home. They don't have a vision for populating heaven. They don't see themselves on a world-class team that's going to shape a nation for the kids and the grandkids of tomorrow. They don't even work on that. When you meditate, you need to meditate on the vision for your church and saying, okay, pastor said we're going here. All right, every major city, I see Springs, great big signs and honking big buildings in every major city in Canada in the name of Jesus. You know, we need to dream, because until you do, you won't figure out, you won't renew your mind properly. In fact, I'll just say a lot of people talk about renewing their mind and they've renewed their mind to the basic doctrines of the Bible, but they have not renewed their mind to the possibilities of them fulfilling with their life. This in Acts chapter 2, it says there that in these last days, I'm going to pour my spirit out upon all flesh. Now, everyone's talking about God pouring his spirit out upon all flesh. What's it going to look like? Well, I got one group. I was at a place where they were all falling into the power, laying on the carpets. Another person, they do all these weird stuff, and this is God in the last day. Actually, what it says is your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams, and that your sons and your daughters will prophesy. It doesn't say we're all going to have a Holy Ghost fire, stomp them, lay them down, smoke in the room kind of thing. It's very clear. It's all about destiny. What are your kids going to prophesy about? We don't need 7 billion people prophesying the end times. We've got enough people doing that. What is it they're prophesying? Prophecy is the speaking forth of God's will in their life. And what is it that young man's supposed to have dreams about? Dreams of what you're going to do with your life. What's that? Or visions. What's the old man dreaming about? He's not retiring. He has a dream and he sees something. When we get into sin, when we get into trouble as people, and by the way, sin, get rid of the top seven. No, sin is missing the mark. Sin's missing the mark. So people are going to be shocked when they stand before God one day and Jesus, and he's going to be loving. Don't get scared by it. But you say, man, you know, did I do okay? And Jesus said, hey, here's your reward. Well, wow, I thought I did more than that. You really missed the mark. That's all you get. What does that mean? It means you sinning is missing the mark. You can miss the mark sexually. You can miss the mark financially. You can miss the mark with your destiny by sitting there and doing nothing the rest of your life. The Bible says, to him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Or to him it is missing the mark. So God needs you to think bigger. He needs you to influence greater. He needs you to have stronger relationships. He needs you to take Springs Church to a whole. He needs you sleeves rolled up, getting involved. All of these areas. Why? You were made to dream and you were made to never stop growing. And when you do, when I was a paramedic years ago, I heard this all the time. I would go, it was always a man, he was always retired, and his wife would be crying at the door as we took the defibrillators in, the body would be laying there, and we'd hook him up and we'd try to revive him. Most of the time we couldn't bring him back, sometimes we could. And she'd always say, this was supposed to be the best year of our life, he's retired and we were going to finally do something. And it became a stand, not a joke, but almost a standing joke amongst the paramedics that every time we go somewhere, and they'd all say, I'm never retiring. If I quit being a paramedic, I'm going to find something to do because I found so many people that when they retire, they die. But the fact is, your brain is wired to your soul and to your body in such a degree that when you start giving up here, everything changes on the inside. And so wherever you are right now, and I want you as kingdom builders, I want you to love life. I want you to be so, what's the word? I want you to glow with enjoyment with your relationships, with your finances, with the career, with what it is that you're doing with your gifts, because you can't do nothing. You're all like me, because, you know, you can sit in the beach for a week. Well, I couldn't even do a week, but if you can sit for the beach for a week, cool. Maybe you could sit for 2 weeks, cool. Maybe you could sit for a month, cool. Maybe you could do 4 months, cool. But I guarantee you, there'll come a time you will be so bored and you will wonder, what should I do with my life? God's designed you to get up. And everyone's not called to be pastors. We got enough problems in the pulpit. There's business people and politicians and creative. You just recognize you are called. You are gifted. The presence of God is on you to go to new places, to make this thing work out. Yeah, but Leon, well, I'm praying and he's not doing it. That's because he's already done it. So prayer is taking the word, saying, God, I'm awake now. Now, Holy Spirit, help me. And begin to meditate till you see the dream in each of the areas you're praying about. As you pray for your family, close your eyes. Holy Spirit, show me things to come. Let me see with the eyes of faith. And you see a happy Christmas with no arguing. You know, you see a business with the right employees or whatever it is. And then when your faith, when you begin to believe the dream that you see, something unique happens. Your heart begins to attract all that you need for that dream to come fulfilled. I find people, I'll walk into bookstores and I just pray. When I walk into a bookstore, well, I do it in Kindle half the time now, but I just run my hands down the books and I'll just look and I'll just start. And I always, Holy Spirit will always stop me on a certain book. And it can be the craziest title. What do I need to know about systems of parking? And then all of a sudden, you find out a couple years later, hey, we got 2,000 park spots. Let's figure out systems. God will always guide you to what you need, or he'll bring the right person into your life. Almost every time in the Bible when someone prayed, God's answer was bringing someone into their life. So whatever God's going to do, I just want you to believe. I don't ever want you to plateau. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you're breathing, God's got a dream. Okay? If you're not breathing, then we'll have a service for you. But if you're breathing, God's got a dream for you. And if you're breathing, there's more. You know, and if you're here, there's something. I'll quit with this last line because I'm getting preaching now. I really believe that God's grin on his face is big when you learn to experience new things. When you begin to experience, you know, when you watch your kids the first time they walk, the first time they touch snow, the first time those little chubby feet get hit the grass, the first time that they say, Dad, you see them experience life and you just experience it with them. There's a ton of experiences you've never experienced yet. Okay? Because Methuselah lived to 969 years old and God was giving him new experiences every year. So whatever you are, the oldest person in the room is probably 40. So, okay, be nice. So there's a lot to experience in relationships and a lot of miracles yet he wants to do. A lot of cool things he wants to survey and go, look what we built, God. And every time you do something new and every time you get blessed, even if your brother is jealous, God's got a grin from ear to ear. And he's proud of everything that you achieve and everything you do because he's in love with you and he wants his glory flowing through you. Father, I just pray that every one of us would just love life. that we would just see good days. That, Father, we would recognize that from glory to glory, there's a whole lot of glory levels left in every area of our lives if we let you change us on the inside. Help us as a kingdom builders, Father. I pray prosperity and blessing. I pray that the doors you're going to open for springs will be huger than anything we've ever seen. And that, Father, one day when we stand as a huge team in heaven, we'll look as far as the eye can see, and we'll see millions that made heaven because we were faithful. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I just reminded me of a story. Have you ever seen that cartoon Bible called the Action Bible? It's if you've got kids or grandkids, or if you don't know your Bible stories and you want to learn the Bible, go buy a comic book Bible. Yeah. I kid you not. It's one of the smartest things you can ever do. Because there, it's done real from story to story. And if you're new in the Lord, or you've got a son or a daughter, or a brand new friend who does not like reading the Bible, you can buy this Bible called the Action Bible, and it's all cartoon, and it's done exactly biblically correct. So you can learn creation, the story of Abraham, and then Isaac, and then Adam, through Jesus, the cross. You can learn, just read comics and learn it all. Well, the guy who did it was one of the guys we interviewed this week. And he actually is a cartoonist for Marvel and DC. So everything from Wonder Woman to the Avengers, he did them all. And he's a believer now. He still does work for them. And he's working on the Bible. So he was telling me the story of how they put together a 16-page gospel tract in just cartoon form. And he told me this story. He said, Leon, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, this Muslim boy was handed one by a Christian, and I think it was in Pakistan or one of the Muslim countries. And he took it home and he hid it under his bed. And he started reading the 16 pages, just the life of Jesus. And he felt so guilty about it, he finally told his dad, and his dad was really mad. His dad was a Muslim. And he grabbed the cartoon and he opened it up, and all of a sudden he blanched because he told his son, this is the face I've been seeing in my dreams. I said, wouldn't that be incredible? God knew that kid would bring that cartoon home, and the face he sees as Jesus was drawn on, and he gave his life to Christ. Then the neighbors started getting these little cartoon tracks, and they now have a church in this town full of Muslims where they all gave their lives to Christ. So we got to talking, and just, this is, you know, I'm always coming with new ideas, so I'll never stop. But what we're thinking about is this 16-page tract. We would like to use that with the devotionals that we send out for adults and stuff. Well, we're working with them right now to figure out a way to maybe we could get this really inexpensively and include it with every devotional that goes out for a while and encourage the parents and the grandparents to get their kids involved with this. And then he told me that his publisher as well has different languages, Muslim languages, that'd be Urdu and others, that are there. And so we're looking at this going, okay, we are just exploding in other languages. I mean, Spanish, Italian, Urdu. And here's this guy that's got a cartoon and they've got other languages. So we started talking and his eyes were this big. And my eyes said, well, I think we might have millions of addresses because we're just going out on JCTV to 400 million Muslims across, you know, the subcontinent of India, they call it, and Pakistan and all the rest. So God keeps doing incredible things. And all it takes there is just some money. And so keep believing with us. For those who, you know, everyone here is, if you're in Kingdom Builders, thank you for your giving. Thank you, because over and above our tithing, this is what really makes the difference and helps us to be able to go to the open doors that God does. And I'll keep telling you open doors, and God will keep doing them. And I just heard from just 2 days ago that now it looks like Estonia is going to be the next one that we're going to go on to. I don't understand all the languages and stuff yet, but God just keeps opening door after door. And I was telling somebody at our table, I never felt called to missions. You ever hear me talk? It's Canada. We're going to get Canada for Jesus. And I'm never stopping. Canada is our call. That's our first. That's our Jerusalem. Winnipeg, Calgary, Toronto. Canada, where we're called. But when he opens all these doors and says, for $50,000 a year, we'll take your program in Urdu to 400 million people when I can't put one couple in Pakistan for $50,000 and they'd probably grow a church to 50, then that's an opportunity that we'd all be crazy to say, oh, you know, I'm not sure. Let's pray about it. Really? Just give me one guy to write a check for 50 grand, and I'm going to go to 400 million. And one day when he stands before God, that's the guy right there. 400 million people are listening to this TV show because of his $50,000. So when it comes down to money, money's a beautiful tool. It's very special. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Prosper. Be blessed. Don't ever let it control you. It makes a lousy God. But there's exciting things ahead of us. Well, we're going to break for dessert. When you do go later, there's no rush off. We have a gift for you. I always like to get you something. One guy said to me, man, I got a whole pack of books and I haven't read any of them. Well, I don't want to increase your guilt, but but the one that we've got back there today is by Bill Hybels, who is one of our probably most brilliant men in the pulpit. He's not just a pastor. This guy's a walking strategist. He's a genius. But he wrote this book, Too Busy Not to Pray. Thought, rather than give you a leadership one, that's a leadership one, maybe it'll help you to make sure you reconnect to God and enjoy your relationship with God, of course, is the key for everything else we do. So whenever you do go later today, make sure and grab that. I think I shared the announcements. The only thing that I didn't share was Max Lucado's coming in. Anybody know who Max Lucado is? And he's going to be in our church in October. Where's the date? You want to hold that for me? You got the light? Oh, you shine the light and I'll read. All right. I hate aging.
Not very much.
I can't even see where I wrote it down. There it is. October 26th. He'll be with us. So if you've got friends, and the guy's a prolific author, and if you haven't read any of his books, the guy's just got an amazing artistic brain, the way he thinks. So he'll be with us on that Sunday. That's the only thing I haven't told you guys about, so thank you. Other than that, God bless you, and they're going to throw the doors open. Let's have some dessert. And I really encourage you guys, encourage one another, talk to one another, meet one another. If it's the same table you've been sitting with the last year, change tables for dessert. Find somebody new, all right? God bless you guys.